The question was asked, what's going on with the fact that people come and dance and bring the kalah to the chuppah? So we have to understand that this idea of dancing in front of a kalah goes back a few years. It goes back about 5,772 years. When God created Adam and Eve, so then the Medrash says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that Hashem brought down the angels, and Hashem braided Kala's hair, Chava's hair. The Yiven, Hashem built the Tzeilah. What does it mean he built? So one understanding is he braided her hair, got her all ready, and then went down there and brought the angels, and they played music. And then when Chava walked in under the chuppah and walked around Adam seven times, Hashem stood there as singing, as a shushvin, as Avram's good friend. And then they got married. So the first man, when his wife came, Adam, when Eve came, they had this beautiful wedding with angels singing in their honor. And then we have a similar story about Amram and Yocheved. And then Maseb Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Elai. Story, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Elai, the great Rabbi Yehuda, the head of the generation. His Torah was so precious that the Talmud says about his generation, Rabos Bonos Asu Chayil, the generation that received the Torah, King David's generation, fantastic generations. The Atalis al Kulana, which generation was the top them all? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eli's generation. So they were serious Torah learners. You'd have a few students under one shul because they didn't have enough money for buying their own coats. That's how dedicated they were for Torah. They didn't stop learning, so we could both be under one coat. So you had a bunch of students under one shul and still learning. So that's how serious, how sincere they were in learning. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli, the Rabbi who taught them all of this, he was Shaya Yosheva Shoneda Talmidav. He was sitting and teaching the students Vavra Kala. And Kala passed by, and there weren't enough people there to make her happy. Vachaz Biyado Vaya Mashnin Ba Achava Kala Lefanav. So he or they, the students, got up and they all started singing to lead her along to sing and make her happy until she passed. So he's giving the top lecture. Along comes a kala. He sees that there isn't a happy enough face. There isn't enough people there to make her happy. So he sends his students out to... they go out to make her happy. And the Medrash goes on with another story that he was teaching, and a kala passed by, and he asked them, what's going on? So they said, that's a kala. So he says, stop dealing with your Torah. Go deal with the kala, because that's what Hashem did. Vayivin Hashem lokim satzelah. You see, Hashem dealt with the kala. Hashem dealt with making Eve beautiful, so I should certainly deal with the kala. So in that case, they dealt, I guess, with getting her what she needed. The Medrash says the first man had God being his best friend, helping him come down to the chuppah. From now on, it's our job to help our fellow man come down to the chuppah. There's another story of Rabbi Tarfon, who also did a similar thing. He sent his mother and his wife to deal with the kala. That's not right here. It's somewhere around here. Similar story. Okay. So I think that the way to understand this is as follows. Sometimes you put on nice music, you get happy. You go to a wedding, and there's nice music, you dance. Have you guys ever been at a wedding where there wasn't nice music? I've been at a wedding where the band was off more than once. It's very hard to dance. They were just off key. And you try to dance, and you try to smile, and it's not there. So what do we see? We see that as much as you could be happy, external things help us be happier. And you think it's external things that are related directly to you. And the answer is no. Even if you walk out and there's a beautiful day, and the birds are chirping, you don't know those birds. And the beautiful weather is very impersonal, but you're happier as you walk down the street. But if you walk outside and it's dreary and it's smoggy and you hear cars honking and you smell the smoke, so it's hard to be chirpy when everything around you is meh. You could be, but what's external to us, even though it's impersonal, can affect us. And even more so when it's aimed at us. If we walk out of our house and someone drives by and says, "You filthy Jew," and it's aimed at you. He doesn't know you and you don't know him. But you're not going to be as smiley as you walk down the street. You walk by and someone says, "Oh, it's so good ever since you Jews moved in. You've done such great things for our neighborhood." He doesn't know you and you don't know him. But somehow you walk and you're a little bit happier. So when things are aimed at us, even if it's from someone who we don't know, it affects us. You have a kala who's going down to her chuppah, and people come out and sing with her, and they walk her down the street. Imagine the following scene. A bride comes out of her house to go to the wedding. And the wedding is at the other end of town. And she walks down, and no one stops what they're doing. She feels like she's the queen of the world, and no one stops what they're doing. No one notices her. Everyone's busy with their own thing. So she could still be walking on cloud number 9. But you can understand that if, instead of that, as she's walking downtown, everybody stops what they're doing, and everybody starts singing and clapping and saying, "Well, you're so lucky, and what a great kala you are, and what a great chassan you got." Even the people who don't know her, even the people she knows don't know her, makes her feel happier. At the end of the day, when we shine happiness onto someone, it makes them happier. If you're gonna imagine you walk into the base medrash, you don't know anyone, but people turn around, smile, and applaud that you walked in. You'd be happy. That's what we're doing when the kala is going down to the chassan. We're showing her we're happy with you, and we wish you well, and you're doing the greatest thing. And part of our happiness is because we know what a great thing she's entering.
So dancing in front of a woman is not. Is not immodest in any way?
No, what's the problem? Dancing in front of her? What am I doing? I'm not dancing with her. I'm dancing in front of her. I'm singing. I'm dancing. I'm
but
adding
because
to
of her. Watching, because of
she's
her.
She's watching. She's like staring at a bunch of guys dancing.
What's the problem?
Dancing for her.
Right.
Right. We're dancing to lead her to her husband.
So
right. We're.
If she's thinking something like that,
I don't think it's no. I don't. I don't think that's a problem. No, you're sharing the joy. You're not only sharing, you're creating part of the happiness, the happy atmosphere, and that's going to make it a happier wedding, and it's going to make her happier.
What if had a group of girls dancing in front of the couple?
That's a different story. That's immodest, because us men are problematic. The women aren't problematic. The men are problematic. He could be on his way to the chuppah, but if he's going to have 15 girls dancing in front of him, so okay.
He's going still to the chuppah, but...
What?
He's still going to the chuppah, but something happened.
Right, but that's because us men are problematic. So that's why we have to be more careful what we see.
I found it interesting, the one thing you said about